in the Twin Towers at New York and on the planes and in the Pentagon from 9/11, I'm sure there were a good number, or at least dozens, of strong Christians in each of those locations when terrorism hit their lives and our country. And for some of them, if they were Bible readers and able to get God's word in their soul on a regular basis, I'm sure some of the questions that are written here in Romans 8 came to their soul. You know, the life is going to be over. If God is for me, who can be against me? You could just think of the desire they had to trust God in the midst of the, what looked like, I'm sure for many, the inevitable ending of their life. And perhaps they got to share with people around them. We don't know. But perhaps they got to share with some people around them before the end was there, which would we'll find out in eternity. And certainly on Flight 93, a good part of that flight was turned into a prayer meeting. We know that much. And not just praying to God, but action based on faith in Christ. So we're glad for God helping people in the midst of the terrible day of 9/11 and since that time. And perhaps they thought, oh, God did not spare his own son. Won't he give us with Christ, even at this point, everything we need? You know, that our souls might be safe. Our bodies aren't going to be safe, but that our souls might be safe with Jesus. Would there be anybody bring a charge against those who God would call? Would there be anybody condemn? Okay, Christ would stand for them as a Savior. And who's going to separate them from the love of Christ? Would this violence, would this terrorist act? And they did feel like it was their day to be slaughtered. But through life or death, through any angels or demons in that action, anything present for them or in their future, nothing, as Jesus would be their Savior, you know, if they would trust him, nothing would separate them from the love of God that was in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we could take heart in our own soul in the troubles that we face in this great passage in the second part of Romans chapter 8. It's one of my favorites. It's been called a rock of Christ's love, a place to stand in a troubled world, and a good pillow for your tired soul. So if you need a pillow for your tired soul, God's strength is seen in the passage. And really, it's the strongest part of Romans, the whole letter, I think. Billy Graham, four times in his book, Facing Life's Problems, quotes this passage in different chapters. You know, he finds a lot of comfort in it. So that's a good example. So if you need strength in your life, the passage is definitely for you. The Holy Spirit asks some questions in the passage, and these are the ones. Who can separate you from God's love? Who can be against you if God is for you? Who is he that condemns? And in your life, as you follow Jesus, those thoughts are going to come to your mind sooner or later. They did come to Paul's mind. And a big old list of things that will come against you will be brought to your remembrance if you're, you know, half aware spiritually of what life is all about and the difficulties that you do face. Who is against you? Who would condemn you? Who would separate you from Christ's love? Culture would try to condemn you. Culture condemns. Okay, put you in the judgment as a follower of Christ. You're going to hear it sooner or later. You hard-hearted, dumb Bible-believing, hypocritical Christian. You know, and the right answer to that is I think to simply say, well, you don't know the half of it. You know, God knows I'm a lot worse than you think there, Mr. and Mrs. Critic. You know, and Jesus died for my sins, and he gave his life for you also. So what do you say to the Lord? Yes or no to him, because he loves you. And so the culture will condemn. Your conscience will condemn you. First John says, when our conscience condemns us, God, who is greater than our conscience, keeps us to himself. Okay, so even when we know the Holy Spirit points out sin in our life, and we think, "Oh, I got to be the worst Christian, you know, in the bunch, and I'm no good, and God will never use me," that God comes and brings the good news of Himself, and He says, "Christ died for you, and will not. He didn't come to condemn, but to save." And then, unfortunately, brothers and sisters in Christ condemn, often out of anger, their own personal anger or insecurity, perhaps need to feel a little bit better than the next guy. It was a case of the remix of the apostles, you know, when they said, "Well, who are the real intense Christians among us? Who are the greatest?" And Jesus said, "Go down for children's church and get one of those children to come up here," more or less, and have them stand there. And you see that one right there? You will trust God like that one does. You'll be great. You'll be great when you trust me like a child does. So, and of course, the devil, he'll accuse, but we know he's a liar, so he's not going to get anything done coming against Christ and one of Jesus' children. So what troubles your soul and threatens your trust in God? You know, who's going to separate you from Christ's love? Paul lists seven things here. He says trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, violence, or the sword. All those things, they're real. Real in Paul's day, real in our day. Then he mentions things that would attempt to separate us from the love of Christ. Life or death, present or future, all kind of, you know, anything in creation that you would put before God, that might threaten to take Christ's love away. But think of no matter what problems you face, and families who walk through 9/11, and certainly our nation, oh, people are still believing in Jesus, aren't they? They're still following Him, in spite of all that. And some of the greatest acts of faith have been right up against the most terrible acts of terrorism. You hear about this all over the place. So we thank God for His victory. Think of the simple old song. Through it all, through those pains and difficulties and trials, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. And later in the song it says, if I didn't have a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. You know, so what problems are in your soul that God is determined to solve with His Son taking up residence in your soul? Okay, it's interesting. So you take anybody in the sanctuary here. If we just took one life and made a biography of it, you would be amazed and surprised of all the dangers, toils, and snares and pain just one person has been through. You'd say, "Oh, that's a lot of trouble." And here you are worshiping God. You see, because nothing separates you from Christ's love for you. So give the Lord some credit and keep leaning in the right direction. And looking at the passage, some of the things God does for people when there's charges against you and trouble and persecution and so forth, what are some of the things from the faithful love of God in the passage? Get your soul in these things. Who are you going to trust if you don't trust Him? Might your faith grow by hearing His Word here. Verse 27, first of all, His Holy Spirit prays for you. It's a little bit earlier in the passage. But God talks to God about you. And He's saying, I am going to help that one. And the Spirit's good at getting his prayers answered and praying in a good manner for what's really important in our soul. God, you know, He doesn't leave us floundering around to praying about what we think's most important. Verse 29. He foreknows us. So He knows you the most and He loves you the best. You're never going to do anything in your life where God says, "Oh my, I didn't see that coming. You know, I can't believe he did that. Or she did that. Or he failed to do that." But he knows us from all eternity past. We're thankful. Did you ever, you know, if you had a relationship with somebody, a friend or maybe your spouse or something, and you say, "Oh, would you be close to me? Would you want to go somewhere? Or eventually, do you want to be my spouse, my wife, and if that person says, oh, I've had my eye on you a long time, you know, you wouldn't be insulted, would you? And say, well, forget it then. The Lord looking out for you for all eternity past. And then God graciously gives us all things. We're co-heirs with Christ. That's an amazing gift. So can't we trust God when things are really bad? It's an amazing gift that what Jesus inherits, he says, this is for you too, because by faith you're a child of God. We're glad for his grace and mercy. And then verse 33, he chooses, he justifies. The work of God. It's very strong. William Barclay, a great Bible scholar, he reads the Bible all the time, writes about it and studies, you know, A through Z. When he commented on this passage, he said, this is all the things God did for you without your help and without my help. That's a lot of stuff. He's praying without our help. He knew us before we showed up. Offers us Christ. Chooses, justifies. Jesus prays for us. And he knows what it's like to be human. Right? Knows what pain is like. Loss and tears and depression and anxiousness. Oh, to let this cup pass from me. And he gave us his son. What? All the good news God gives to us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing will separate us. And you think maybe some of the Christians, again, on 9/11, they almost lived out Romans 8. They started the day with no condemnation. They were at peace with God. And they ended the day with no separation. And that's a gift God offers each of us. We start the Christian life with no condemnation. We end the Christian life and everywhere in between with no separation. There's that love that is a sustaining grace. That God is for you. He's not against you. And all the evil in the whole world could come against you. And God would prevail. Because God plus you equals a majority. And again, we give the Lord credit and these dear people credit who walk through terrible things and know God's goodness. God says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul had to get a new word in the Greek, apparently. More than conquerors really reads hyper-conqueror. Why? Because of Christ's love. It's not that we're so tough and rough. It's that Jesus is tough and rough on our behalf. So you might not feel, I don't feel like much of a conqueror. God says, because Christ loves you, you're more than a conqueror. And he'll sustain you. And here's some things that I think are meant to help you from God's word when you feel like the whole world's shaking around you, which it is. And unless your soul's trusting Christ, you know, Christ is the only one who's not going to shake, so your soul better trust in him. If you trust in yourself, you'll be shaking, all right. So here's some of our relationship with God described. We could have the security of salvation, which God offers us. Or there's the instability of salvation, which is when we begin to trust in ourselves. Okay, we know salvation is a gift from God, not by works. We're thankful for all he did for us. The instability of salvation would be to say, oh, it's a gift plus it's what I do. See, what I do is the foundation. No, we'll see. What we do is important, but it's never the Savior. It's never the rock. It's never the foundation. It's never the righteousness that we have. And so it's a gift from God. And then our salvation is from Jesus' merit, all his goodness, God the Son coming, being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And again, if we say, well, we're thankful he did something for me, I think, there, died and rose from the dead, but I better do something because he needs icing on the cake. You know, our icing on the cake is filthy icing. So we want to let know we're secure in him. And then take that for your soul. Or many world, we'll see here that the things on the right side of the equation there are really representative of the world religions. They'll say, well, you can have the gift of God, but you better do many things, and maybe Jesus was a good person, maybe, but you better, and then trust and obey, and maybe you'll go to heaven. But the Bible says God will give you a faith that obeys. And it comes out of your trust for Christ. It's very important. And many folk, you know, you hear the good news of what Jesus has done on your behalf, and some people get frustrated and say, well, you know, but what do we do? Oh, that's coming in Romans 12 through 15. And when God says, now this is what you do, we're going to be, believe me, all of us are going to be saying, we thank the Lord for what he'll do through us. Because Jesus confronts us from presenting our whole life a living sacrifice. He talks to us about whether we respect government authority or not. He talks about how we treat the weakest Christian among us. And we're going to be, oh my, I thought I was a spirit-filled Christian until the Lord started talking about how I treat government authorities. He's like, whoo, get some serious repenting to do. So our works flow through our faith, and then he gives us a seat with Christ in the heavenlies. And on the right side, it's always heaven maybe. Our faith is reduced to taking the flowers there and, you know, pulling the petals off. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Or I'm going to heaven, I'm going to heaven not. I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to heaven. If you had any relationships like that, you would say, I don't like these kind of relationships. And it's not the kind that God would establish to your soul in his Son. You see, his sustaining grace is great. And then also the security of our relationship, neither death nor life, angels, principalities, we're saved by God's love for us. We do love him back because he first loved us. But we are never saved by our love for God, because our love for God varies way too much. It would be the same thing by saying we're saved by our obedience. Okay, I know a lot of people in the group here that really love God a lot, really obey God a lot. But I know they don't base their salvation on what they do. I wouldn't encourage them to do that. I wouldn't base my salvation on their love for God. There's a whole bunch of people who love God here, but for me to say, I base heaven on how much you love God, that would be like, ugh. And so I don't want you to base your salvation on your love for God or on your obedience, but on the obedience of Christ. That there was a righteous man who did what was supposed to be done. He gave his life and rose. And he's God the Son, that we could put our trust in him. And then, of course, in our salvation, Jesus never leaves or forsakes us. In the shaky salvation, Jesus leaves when you fail. And this good news can be seen in the Old Testament. Can't believe it's noon already. Jesus is seen in the Old Testament here of his sustaining love. This is in Lamentations when God's people were defeated. They're getting wiped out. And God gives Jeremiah the faith to say, because of the Lord's great mercy, his great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Paul would say, I'm persuaded. I'm sure. I am convinced. All this stuff coming at us won't separate us. I am persuaded beyond doubt. That's what the Amplified Bible says. And neither death nor life. You can make your own list if you would from verses 38 and 39. You know, Paul said life, death, angels, demons, things present, things future. Here's a person who wrote some things, their list. It would come against them, but God's love would be stronger. Neither terrorists nor evil rulers, neither the will of man nor fears that come true, neither job loss nor family loss can separate us from God's love for us. Here's another one. Neither ISIS nor Islam. Neither bad health nor no money. Neither the devil nor religious hypocrisy can separate us from God's love. Jesus is Lord way over those things. More powerful to hold on to us than any damage done to us. And just a word of encouragement. Please take it as such. Paul says, angels and demons can't separate us from the love of Christ. Remember, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:18, the one born of God, that's Jesus, holds you safe, and the evil one cannot touch him. So sometimes in your walk with the Lord, remember, we have a real enemy. But if I could say it as a Christian, brother to brother here, brother to sister, the devil as one massively evil, rebellious angel, he doesn't spend all his time with you. Okay. You're not that important in terms of the building of God's kingdom that he's just going to say, I am going to spend a whole day with so-and-so. Yeah, if he does, you'll know it, and so will everybody else, and you'll be prayed for. And he'll know God's Spirit's in you, and he'll run away from you as fast as the demons ran away from Jesus in the gospel. Whoa, heaven! Because you belong to God. So you can ease up with the talking about the devil every time something goes wrong. Just take it easy with that. And even if it's a case, angels and demons cannot separate you from the love of God. Nor present nor future. We think of what will happen to our grandchildren. You know, will they survive in this world? Well, nothing in the future can separate them from Christ's love. Back in the 40s and 30s, maybe it was part of Vicky's song, you know, there were people who said, how will these people ever follow Jesus in 2016? Never going to make it, you know. Well, here you are. So the future can't separate you from Christ's love, and he's great. And just hold on to Christ's love, holding on to you, and I'd like to close in a hymn. And in fact, our last hymn we will pass over for a benediction. But here's the hymn called He Will Hold Me Fast, written by Ada Habershon, who also wrote the hymn May the Circle Be Unbroken. Some of you know that one. But she says this, when I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. If at times sin does prevail, he will hold me fast. I can never keep my hold through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. And you know, you could say that if you belong to Christ. If you can't say that, you know it. And Christ would say, I stand at the door, you know, open that door. And I want to be with you and you'll be with me. And God will be faithful. Let's pray and know his care for us. Father, for hurting families, for hurting souls, for our own troubles with dangers, toils, and snares and sin, we thank you. Your Bible says, no condemnation for those believing in Jesus, no separation from Christ's love for those believing in Jesus. Might we have your strength in our lives that we need desperately in these days. And as the whole world shakes around us and wonders which little cave or rock to hide under, that we could say, on Christ the solid rock we stand. And we've found you faithful and true throughout history and to our dear country and to each child of yours here. Might there be peace with God through faith in Christ in every seat and every dear person here. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.